Two village idiots with a love-hate relationship.
See, you got fat.
See, you still look like a 15-year-old girl, but not hot.
Who can't stop arguing over Oklahoma sports.
You know what, man? Why am I still talking to you?
Come on, we were doing good there, man.
It's the Just Okay Sports Podcast, hosted by Troy and Daryl.
Sooner Nation, Thunder Nation, we are back. This is the Just Okay Sports Podcast. I am your village idiot, Daryl, and I am flying all solo tonight. My brother is streaming tonight on his gaming channel over at JRodicusZL1. If you guys are gaming streamers, go check that out. My man Troy just had some things come up tonight and could not join me, but the show must go on. So thanks for coming on and being with us. Please don't forget to subscribe, like, follow, leave a 5-star review. That helps us tremendously, especially on Apple Podcasts, as well as comments. So please let us know what we're doing well. Let us know what we can do better. We're just doing this to have a great time and hopefully just kind of interact with some other Oklahoma sports fans. That's why this is Just Okay Sports. And so, mainly focusing on Oklahoma football, that is the Sooners, Oklahoma football and Thunder basketball. So always having a great time, always trying to enjoy it. So, that's that. We always do a little bit of Lifetime. It's always hard when I'm solo. I kind of just dive right in, but just so you all know, things are good. Life's good. I get to go car shopping this weekend. So if you're the praying kind, pray for me, because as you know, it is not a good market at all, but I'm in desperate need of a new vehicle since mine has died. And so, got to have something. So hope that all comes together. And then as far as other things going on in life, getting started up really late. So if I yawn during this podcast, I apologize. But tonight we had a big kind of Halloween, fall festival, whatever you want to call it, did s'mores and treasure hunts and games and all kinds of stuff for our community at our church. And so that was kind of fun. So just getting home late and getting this thing started, but it's opened the door for us to talk some Thunder basketball because it was a good night. But let's start with Kansas. We're not talking about national championships. We're not going to talk about Big 12 championships. We're talking about Kansas. Not competition, Kansas. We're talking about Kansas. What was that? And I know that it's been days, and unfortunately, we do our review on Wednesday night. So I'm sorry, because I know you've all been steaming. I've seen it on the Twitter. I've been in a couple of Twitter spaces, which, by the way, for those of you that do Twitter, find us on there. We're starting to do more of that where we get on every once in a while and just talk some OU football in the space zone on Twitter. So we'd love for you to join us there. But, man, I don't know, man. I don't know what to say about that game. I would love to be a fly on the wall. And as you all know, we have guys that we talk to on the team still. There are still guys on that team that I still have phone numbers of that have been on this podcast, those kinds of things. I have been bold enough to ask a few of them how things are going. And they will always say when, especially it's bad, I don't think I should answer that or say anything. So we don't get anything through that avenue. But then secondly, I don't think I've asked that once ever to a player just because, you know, I don't want to put them in that position. And I can only imagine after a very poor performance, what it's like for people to be, you know, scratching at you to try to get information out of your locker room, right? So now look, before we go down more, I mean, I don't know what else to say other than that's one of the worst played football games in OU history. I mean, you're talking about a team that was ranked in, like, I think the best they were ranked in any offensive, main offensive or defensive category was like 120 something. There was one category, they were like 215th, which means they are worse than Division II programs. Right? I mean, like, what are we doing here? This is a game that, as long as you know your assignment, you should be able to get through. So that's all there is to say about it. This team just didn't care. This team didn't prepare. And even if they didn't, if they just give some kind of effort and if they just somewhat do their assignments, they should win that game. They should get stops. They should make plays. And they couldn't do anything. They gave up more sacks in one game than they have than Kansas has had the entire season. They gave up more touchdowns than Kansas scored the entire season. They allowed Kansas to score more touchdowns than they've scored the entire. I mean, you literally set records on multiple levels for this season against what is most likely the worst Division I team in all of college football. Now, I don't believe for a second those guys are happy with their performance. I don't believe for a second that they think that that was their best football. But then again, I don't know what's said in that locker room. So all we have to go off of is press conferences, right? The few moments that we get with this team. And so let's kind of run down a few things said in the press conference. Just some tidbits, not all of it. The number one thing that I am tired of hearing, and I know several OU fans are, is the statement of Lincoln Riley. We are so close. Now, look, when you're playing West Virginia and your offense sputters against what is legitimately one of the better defenses in all of college football, and you win, I can buy that you're close. I can buy a guy just being off a little bit here, a little bit there, and that game stays tight because West Virginia is more than capable defensively to slow you down. I'm okay to say that our defense is close, even against a team like Nebraska, who, despite is not a good football team offensively, does put up very good numbers. So if you miss some run fits, if you're not in the right spots in your zones, if you're not really sure how to pass off coverage of one guy to the next, then yeah, I could see where you might give up some yardage and give up some plays. That makes some sense. But we are talking about Kansas, Lincoln. We're talking about Kansas. You should be able to be close and win this game handled. I mean, that's it. OU should be able to play close and win the game very, very, very comfortably. Not to mention, it's week 9. So quit coming to the press conference and telling us that we're close. Because if you were close at week 3, then 6 weeks later, you should be kind of figuring it out, and you're not. And this isn't the defensive backfield. This is the O-line. This is linebackers. This is now the defensive line that we were touting all those early weeks when they played crap competition, now all of a sudden can't get pressure on anybody. It's all of it. You have literally gone backwards. You have gone backwards in the last 2 weeks. And so, I don't know, man. I'm just tired. I'm tired of those statements. The other thing I don't want to hear about anymore is, you know, when you get in these games with low possession, Lincoln, the only reason these games are low possession games is your offense can't stay on the field and your defense can't get the opponent off the field. If your defense even went 7 and out, 7 and out, 8 and out, it's what, a 4 minute, 5 minute drive? Let's get real frisky. Let's say it's a 6 minute drive. And then you're going to get the ball back. And if your offense does what it should, you should be up 7-0, right? But instead, we're giving up 10 minute drives of 14 and 15 plays of teams that we can't stop that are ranked, again, worse than 120th in the country offensively. Yeah, you're going to have low possessions. When your defense can't line up, when we when we can't be situationally aware to what's going on. So I don't want to hear this, you know, low possession. And then it got even more frustrating because Jeremiah Hall this week in media availability, he goes on to say, you know, yeah, you leave that game and emotionally you're really mad and you're really upset. And you just think to yourself, man, we didn't score any points that first half. That's terrible. That looks so bad. This is literally what he said in his press conference. He said, but then you go back and you look and it's not as bad as you realize when you realize you only had 17 plays. Or I'm sorry, 15 plays. Jeremiah, the fact that you couldn't run 15 more plays and not score a touchdown against Kansas is awful. It is awful. It's terrible. And I understand you have a turnover in there. It doesn't matter. 15 plays, you should have 21 points on the board playing Kansas. Period. So this is what I'm talking about. I don't know what's said in that locker room. I don't know who gets chewed out and who doesn't. I don't know if Riley comes in swinging like crazy at these guys after a game like this, and then just at the podium, he takes it a completely different. I don't know. I don't know. But when I hear Lincoln saying things, you know, well, these low possession games. Yeah, again, that's a you problem. It's not a game problem. That's a you problem. And then Jeremiah Hall, yeah, you're really mad you don't score points. Then you realize you only ran 15 plays. Well, now it doesn't look so bad. Wait, what? So you're telling me you went and looked at the stats and realized, oh, we were playing Kansas and we ran 15 plays and didn't score. Well, now I don't feel so bad about it. Are you kidding me? I don't know. I don't know. And then Lincoln goes on to say, you know, we played really good defense earlier in the year. Yeah, against Tulane, against Nebraska, against Western Carolina. Like that's your competition. I mean, yeah, you played good defense back then. Now you're playing some teams that are somewhat capable, which, by the way, Kansas is not one of them, and you're struggling. I don't know, man. And then he went on to say, too, that the opponent doesn't matter. Well, you've told us that all year, Lincoln. You've said all year that we have to play to our standard. And yet, we come to press conferences and go, yeah, these low possession games. I don't know what's going on. We just didn't get the ball that much. Well, what's your standard? Because the last I checked at Oklahoma, the standard was that we're going to be a top five offense in the country and we're going to run it and throw it down your throat. And we can't. So what is the standard? Is the standard here really that we're going to give up 15 play drives every single game to start the game for 10 minutes of the first quarter? Is that the standard? So you want to say the opponent doesn't matter, but it does. You know, the opponent does matter. For example, my son is 9 years old, right? Like, and when it gets crazy cold outside and he still wants to play football, tackle football, we play in the living room, we play in our bedroom, play up here in our kind of upstairs little hobby room up here. And the rules are this: I have to play on my knees while he gets to play on his feet. So he gets to run full steam ahead while I play on my knees. Why? Because I am bigger, faster and stronger than he is. And guess what? I still win. Because even when he runs at me full steam ahead, he cannot run me over. He's 9. So I don't go, well, I just don't worry about the opponent. No, you do worry about the opponent. And the fact that you're playing poorly against teams, and again, I'm not trying to pile on these poor kids that are just trying to chase their dream of being college athletes, but let's just be honest with ourselves for a minute. That's a JV squad. And you're playing your starters the whole game just to eke out a win. The opponent has to matter a little bit. I mean, the opponent has to matter a little bit. And then what's funny is at the same time, Lincoln goes, oh, our opponents don't matter. We don't worry about that. But then he went on to say, well, part of the problem that we're having is whenever we play people, we're their Super Bowl, and therefore it's really hard on us. So the opponent does matter, doesn't it, Lincoln? It does matter. And you played terrible against, again, the worst college football program in the world. And the only guy that seems mad about it is Alex Grinch. He's the only one that seems to be taking ownership. He is the only one that seems to be not happy with where we are. He is not using words like close. He is not using statements like, you know, it's just low possession, so there's not much we can do about it. No, his mentality is, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know why we're not getting turnovers, and apparently I can't communicate the right way. I don't know why our guys are lined up in the wrong spot, but obviously I have good coaches, but whatever we're coaching isn't translating to our players, so we got to get better. He is taking full ownership of the fact that his guys are not motivated, that his guys don't know where to be, that his guys don't know what to do. And this is one of the reasons that even for people that have been calling for Alex Grinch's head, for the rest of us that actually listen to him, we love the guy because he owns it. We are bad, and I don't know why. I'm telling them the things they need to do, and it's not catching, and I got to figure out how to be a better coach. I appreciate that. Now, am I frustrated that he can't figure it out? Yeah, but at least he owns it. At least he comes in there and says, our tackling is bad. Hey, this is bad. And I don't know why we're this way, and I don't know why we're that way. I can promise you that we've repped these things. I can promise you that we've talked about these things, but we're just not there yet. He seems to be the only guy that really cares. And again, I want to reemphasize, I don't know what happens behind closed doors, but all I know is what we have seen for 8 weeks. 8 weeks of conversations like this with media, of conversations like this on radio shows and coaches' corner shows and all the different, and it's the same mantra. You know, and all the offensive players are echoing it. So either they're all really mad and yelling at each other off camera and then coming on and being given a script to say, man, we're really close. We're right there. We are so close to dominating Kansas. Oh, it was so, man. Once I watched the tape, I just really wasn't as mad because we are so close to putting a 30-point win down against Kansas and against Tulane. Oh, if we could just get there. And this is the same coaching staff that told us that this was a national title team. I mean, that's why we're all so frustrated. It's none of us look, and this includes me. I know I'm in my dark Daryl mode, but like, this isn't me saying that I don't believe those guys aren't working hard. I assume they are. I know the coaches are. Right. I'm assuming the players are doing the things they need to do to get better. I don't believe at all. But at the same time, you know, Grinch said a great thing. You know, he said too often, you know, what can happen, for example, is you don't really prepare for a math test. But then you take that said math test and you end up getting an A on it. Well, and now the question is, are you going to go, whew, we dodged a bullet and I need to do what I need to do the rest of the time? Or are you going to make it a habit that you don't prepare, believing that the same outcome will happen? And if you do that, eventually it's going to catch up to you. It felt to me like Grinch is a little bit on the page of most fans. We are getting away with winning, with not being prepared, with not doing our job, and with not being motivated. And that's great that we're 8-0 that way. But this is about to catch up to us. And we better start getting it right. And that's all the fans want. You know? Look, there's not an OU fan anywhere that is mad about, for instance, the LSU game from a few years ago. We all knew going into that game, OU could not beat LSU unless just a miracle happened. But the team played hard. They gave it their best effort. LSU was just that stinking good, right? Losing to Alabama a few years ago, that team was really good. And the Rose Bowl, as much as it pains all of us, that team The defense, was it terrible? Yes, but it wasn't a lack of effort. Those kids fought with everything. They came off the bus with an edge. They just, at the time, were not being well coached, and they didn't have the same talent level. And they battled as hard as they could, and they just couldn't get it done. So, like, we watch those games, and do they hurt, and does it stink as a fan? Yes, but at least the team is fighting and really, at least to the trained eye, to the trained and untrained eye, look like they're giving maximum effort to get a win. And right now it feels like we are sleepwalking to wins. And unfortunately, you're 8 weeks into the season. So now if you try to flip a switch to try to really attain greatness, you have 2 weeks to get there. Right now, less than that, you have a week and a half to get there. And I promise you, Baylor is coming for the victory. And those guys have been preparing themselves to be elite, whatever their level of elite can be, since week one. And they have been progressing that direction. So it's going to be interesting. And I would say the same. Iowa State got off to a slow start, but they do every year. And then they get better and better and better. That's exactly what they're doing, is they just beat the number 8 team in the country. And Oklahoma State is, for some reason, flipped its script where their defense is elite and their offense is up and down, but their defense is elite. And their defense holds them in games every single week. So Kansas was brutal. It was brutal. And I would agree that, yes, as I watch some things, I think, oof, man, this goes that way, that goes this way, that all changes this and it changes that, and makes it a little bit different outcome in the first half. But even so, it shouldn't be that hard against Kansas. You should be able to overcome those things. Now, moving on to Tech. If you were not aware, Tech does not have an official head coach. They have fired Matt Wells, their head coach, which I find just fascinating, because it seemed to me that Texas Tech was kind of a surprise team in the Big 12. I thought a lot of people picked them to be right down there with Kansas. And granted, while they're not very good at one point, I mean, this was a one-loss team just like a week ago. And no one really expected that. It seemed as though that they were performing pretty well. But it's also pretty obvious that they just did not want Matt Wells around. They've moved on. This team is pretty good offensively. If you go down through the EPA numbers, which is kind of basically like an estimated points per attempt is the way they do it, right? This team in passing ranks 52nd, and in rush ranks 34th in the nation. So this is a top 50, top 40 kind of offense when it comes to those things. The bad part is that our defense in those same stat lines, pass-wise, is 128th, while our rush is 8th. So our rush defense is still hanging on, but most of that work was done early in the season. It has not been done the last couple weeks. So it is a little scary to see us at 128th in that number, and to see their passing numbers as good as they are. And then they kind of have the same problem. Their defense is just not very good. Their EPA rating, 76, 108, 114th in different categories, 126 in third down, fourth down success rate, those kinds of things. So this feels like it won't be, because a quarterback play on either side is this good, but it feels like Mahomes versus Mayfield all over again. It feels like Tech's going to be able to score. I got to not watch, but listen to some of the Texas game. And while Tech was down early in the first half, the second half, man, it was like Texas scored, Tech scored, Texas scored. And I'm talking one and two play drive, just big bomb passes, which kind of terrifies you knowing where this defense is. So that's a little bit of who they are. They are definitely stronger on the offensive side than they are on the defensive side. They're very weak on that side of the ball. Caleb Williams needs to pull himself together and have a much better game this week than he did last week, which, by the way, I know everybody wants to talk about the strip play. And, yes, a heady play, incredible play. I'm with Ted Lehman on this one. I'm still just hung up that on fourth and two, that it took a true freshman stripping the ball from his own running back and trying to do everything he can to get 2 yards. I'm trying to wrestle with the fact that we were even in a fourth and two situation with the game on the line. We couldn't get 2 yards on third down. I don't understand that. That this is something where this offensive line should be able to fire off the ball and move the O-line or the D-line at least a yard, and then the running back should be able to move him another yard when he crashes into it. And we couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Caleb Williams had to strip it to make a run and a win in this game. So that's just really, really, really interesting and sad. So overall, how am I feeling about this game? I mean, I think it's going to be a shootout. And I will say this, I am nervous, very nervous, because our offense can score and our defense has been so bad. You don't really know what you're going to get with Caleb Williams right now. You almost kind of feel like, you know, last week we finally started to see signs that he's probably going to have a quarter or a half bad. And I don't mean that because he's a bad player. I mean, it's because he's a true freshman that did not play his senior year. So when you put all that together, he's going to have some bad moments. And when he has these bad moments, what's that going to look like for the offense? And the defense has just had an embarrassment of bad moments here lately. So I apologize. I had to get something to drink there. It feels to me like this is going to be a game that's going to kind of go up and down, you know, either way, a little bit, probably TCU-ish. You know, I could see OU getting into the 50s if the offense plays well and up to their capability. But I could also see our defense giving up a good 35, 40 something points up and down this game. I mean, I really do just think it's going to be a back and forth scoring barrage kind of game. So, and I would say this, one of the keys for me in this game is going to be this. Can we run the ball effectively early in this game? Okay, again, their rush defense on the EPA level is 108th in the nation. If we are even a Big 12 title contending team, let me say that again. If we are a Big 12 title contending team, we should be able to run the ball. And I'm not talking like 20-yard runs. I'm just talking 4 yards at a pop. That should be happening. That should be happening on the first drive. And if it's not, if they cannot come out early and establish the run game and really just let Kennedy Brooks and Eric Gray eat going right at them, kind of scared of what this game could look like. But if they can get the run game going early, they could finally put a game together. And I'm kind of hoping that last week ticks them off enough that they show up ready to roll. They show up ready to prove a point. But it kind of feels like this team believes that they can just do whatever they want, then get through the bye week and just show up at Baylor and be an elite football program that can play with a team that is very disciplined and plays very hard and very physical. Nah, I don't know. So I understand Tech's going to score some points. So what do I think the score is going to be? I mean, if it was, again, a normal year, like we've had most years, I'd probably be picking this game something like 50-23, something like that. I mean, again, with backups and everything else, I think Tech will score. But instead, it kind of feels more like a 34-28 game is what it feels like. It feels like that Tech's going to be able to move the ball, but they're going to make some kind of mistake. But OU will probably do the same at some point in time and then just go through a stretch where the defense can't stop them for anything. And, you know, we end up winning on a late touchdown or holding on for dear life to hang on to a one touchdown lead, something like that. So 34-28 is more what I'm guessing within this game. That's college football right now. That's the OU side of things. Recruiting continues to go very well for OU. There seems to be a lot of good news on the horizon. And so that's exciting as well. I don't know that we can get those guys here quick enough. We need them here yesterday. So see how it goes. As for the Thunder, they get their first win of the season. And that first win comes against the Lakers. I did not see that one coming. I did not think that we would even be able to somewhat contain Anthony Davis enough to pull out that win. But we do. It was a really good game overall here. Let me give you some stats from this game. For the starting lineup of Oklahoma City. Ready for this? Darius Bazley, 2 assists, 4 steals, 6 rebounds, 1 block, 20 points. Pretty good day. Lou Dort, 6 rebounds, 1 steal, Two turnovers, 17 points. Derek Favors, 15 points and 6 rebounds. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, and 27 points. And Josh Giddey, 18 points, 4 turnovers, 1 steal, 10 assists, and 2 rebounds. Coming off the bench and really contributing to this team, without a doubt, is Isaiah Roby, who scored 13 points, had an assist and 2 rebounds. And the other one in the plus-minus category that had a huge impact on this game is Kendrich Williams, had a big one. The guy that did not show up in this game is Poku. Poku played 7 minutes, took 2 shots, both 3-pointers, missed them both, did not record a rebound, did not record an assist, did not record a steal, did not record a block. He had 1 stat on the night, and this is his stat, a turnover. His stat on the night was a turnover. Now, Maladon played 7 minutes, took 1 shot, but also had an offensive rebound, had an assist as well. Trey Mann played in this game, had a rebound, and had a point. Had 3 points, actually. Right? He did not do anything positive in this game in 7 minutes. Not even a rebound at 6'11", almost 7 feet tall. Could not get a rebound. But our 2 guards could. In 12 minutes total between the 2 of them. 5 for one, 7 for the other. I don't get that, man. I'm not really, and y'all have known this, just not overly excited about the Poku train, man, and where it's headed and how it looks. But the Josh Giddey stat line looks fun. And Troy did text me about not being able to be on the pod. He goes, hey, make sure and let everybody know he is all about the Giddey fever. He is on the Giddey train. He believes in the Giddey. And, man, if you go watch the highlights of this game, man, some of the passes that Giddey makes are filthy. That guy can pass the rock. Super, super wild. This is 2 games in a row as well as SGA kind of comes to life also. But going back to Giddey, just a great game. Really impacted it in a huge way. You just see his comfort level, and it just looks so different from Poku. So of the 2 young guys that we have really invested in, I'd say that. The other guy that's been a surprise, we'll see, it's been 2 games that he's played well, but that's Darius Bazley, who, by the way, decided to get a steal and a dunk near the end of the game, made Russ so mad that Russ got tossed out of the game, took his 2nd technical and was ejected from the game because Darius Bazley dunked the basketball with under a minute to go or so. I don't know how I feel about this. I would say in a normal circumstance, there's no need to shoot a 3 or to go dunk the ball on a play like that. But this is a young player who has spent now what looks like it's going to be his 2nd year just letting team losses pile up. He has been losing for well over a year. And when you've been losing for well over a year, and then you get a steal at the end of the game and in front of your home crowd when you're about to win your first game of the season. Yeah, okay, you dunked it. Yeah, move on. I get it, kid. You haven't had a win all year. We're the Lakers. We have. Move on, Russ. Let it go. But that's the thing with Russ. He can't let it go. He cannot let it go and move on. So just a crazy, crazy night. Definitely would not have picked our first win to come against the Lakers. But it felt oh so good. Russ getting frustrated, getting tossed. And then also near the end of the game, Carmelo Anthony with the air ball. There it was. Told you I'd yawn eventually. With the air ball towards the end of the game that really kind of sealed the game for the Thunder to get the win. So, look, the biggest thing I would take out of it is this. Giddey continues to improve and look great. SGA is finally looking like himself again. If you go back and look at their first 2 or 3 games of the season, SGA was non-existent. He could not hit a shot, couldn't make anything. He seems to be heating up again, which is really, really, really exciting. Okay. That's kind of your roundup on Oklahoma sports. Let me give you my five picks on the five college football games that I am interested in this weekend. I did not get picks from Troy or from Jared. Apologize for that, but you're just going to have to deal with me. The number one game I'm going to pick is UGA at Florida. UGA is a 14-point favorite. Give me the dogs. I do not believe in Florida's offense. Seems their quarterback controversy could definitely be a problem, and I think that the Georgia defense is going to be a problem for them. So, yeah, I'll take the 14 points. UCLA at Utah. UCLA, kind of a Cinderella story this year. Utah just continuing to be a very tough.
Excuse me.
Excuse me. Discipline team. They are favored by 6.5 at home. But give me the Bruins, baby. I'm going to take them in the points. But I'm going to pick UCLA to win this game straight up. I'll take the points just for the sake of taking them. But I do think UCLA pulls the upset here. Texas at Baylor. This is an interesting one. At Baylor. Baylor only favored by 3. I find that shocking. I am going to take Baylor. I believe Baylor wins this game straight up. I think they are playing good football. I think they are confident. Their defense is always capable. I don't know that Texas is fully ready for what they're about to experience with their defense. And then another intriguing one, Cincinnati will play Tulane. Here we go, folks. For all those people, Tulane is so much better than we realize. They're a better football team than we thought they were. Okay, we're about to find out. Cincinnati is a 25.5-point favorite. Give me Cincinnati. I believe they cover that and then some, because Cincinnati is a national title contender and Tulane is not. And then last, the big one of the week, at least in my opinion, Michigan at Michigan State. Michigan is favored by 4. Give me Sparty. Give me Sparty. That's for you, Brent. That's for you. My buddy Brent is a huge Michigan State fan. I'm going to roll them. Harbaugh doesn't win these games. He has not proven that he wins games like this. He finds a way to lose them. So I'm going to go with that to continue. I will take Michigan State for the upset. So that's all I got tonight, folks. It's just me. So I tried to move somewhat quickly through here and just recap some things and look at some things. Hope you've enjoyed. Again, please don't forget to follow, like, subscribe. Leave a review and comments, please. Comments help so much to get the word out about this podcast. We are having a great time doing it. We hope that when you come and listen to this podcast or watch it on YouTube, that you're having a great time too. So thank you so, so much for that. We will talk to you guys later. Bye, Baker.
Cha-ching, a Thunder money ball.
You can unhitch the wagon, put the ponies in the ball.